I'm available to clean you up. But Jesus allowed Peter to understand, Peter, that if I can just wash your feet, you don't have to worry about your hands and your head, because if you just get in me, oh, come on and say amen, then I become in you, and then you become all that I want you to be. See, Peter didn't walk out of there changed automatically. Come on and say hallelujah. Some of us are like Peter. We don't change automatically. But some of we, just like Peter, we still have problems. Peter walked out of this same meeting and he cut a man's ear off. Preach. Peter wanted to fight as soon as he got his feet washed. Peter, not only that, but later on, Peter started cussing because he was standing at the fire saying, I don't know the so-and-so man. He began to lie. He began to cuss right after this. And some of us are just like Peter. We cut people's ear off. We cuss. We lie. We do whatever. But you know what? Later on in life, the Bible said that Peter, pre-Pentecost, Peter did all of that. But post-Pentecost, Peter, when Peter got the Holy Ghost, when Jesus told him, he said, when you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. When all of this happened, Peter was able to begin to preach the gospel. And over, oh, come on and say, man, 3,000 people got saved on his first message. I'll dare anybody in here, to, if you're Peter today, just wait till tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're dealing with today. Yeah, I got issues today, but just wait until tomorrow. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be able to show folks. See, Peter was able to get people changed because they remember the lying Peter. They remember, oh, come on, the cussing Peter. And so they say, if God can change Peter, what about me? Do I have anybody in here today that said, if God can change Peter, then what about me with my lying self? What about me with my cursing self? What about me with my drinking self? What about me with my wretched self? Come on and say amen here. Oh, glory. Y'all making me preach harder than I should. But he said that you don't need, he said, if I've already cleaned you with my word, period. He said, you really don't need nothing but your feet washed, because my word on the inside of you is like a seed. It's going to grow. And once that word grows, you become what I want you to become. Let's go on a little further. And Jesus said it to him, verse 11, he says, and when he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. Now I'm almost at the end of this and I'm going to close. But he says, when he knew who would betray him, the Bible says that Jesus already knew who would betray him. He said, did not I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil? See, some of us need to have a betrayal around us. Some of us need to have the devil around us, because you will never know how great you are until somebody do something wrong to you. You will never know that you are a prayer warrior until somebody does something to make you pray. You will never know how much word you know in your life until you have to start quoting it because of what you might go through. You never know how strong you are until your strength is tested by folks. I wish I had somebody here, but Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't try to put Judas out the group. See, all of us, we'd have got mad with Judas. We'd have called all our family. We'd have said, you know what Judas did? Guess what Judas plotting to do? We need to stop Judas. But God didn't stop Judas. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, get Judas. Matter of fact, he told John. He said, the one that I give the sop to, that's the one that's going to do it. If you keep reading, you'll find that he told Judas. He said, whatever you got to do, go do it quickly. He already knew how his heart was. But many of us, we'd have fought Judas. We'd have slapped the taste out of Judas's mouth. We would have stripped him. And look, the funny thing is that Jesus had been giving Judas money all this time. Oh no, you took my money too? Oh, come on and say amen here. We would have acted a fool with Judas. Y'all acting like y'all wouldn't have. But I know what I would have done. I would have said, Judas, I ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Come on, Judas. I'm going to show you right quick, because I know the Lord will forgive me after I whoop you, Judas. But many of us would have done just that. But Jesus kept his composure, and he showed us how to handle our haters. He said, here you go, Judas. I'm going to give you food while you're hungry. I wish I had somebody here. See, we not living what God said live. He said, turn the other cheek. How can I turn the other cheek? It's when I got the Holy Ghost. He helps me to do what I couldn't do on my own. when I turn the other cheek, it's not because I'm weak. It's because I just don't. I just don't want to fight right now. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. When I give my enemy water when he's thirsty and bread when he's hungry, that's because the Holy Ghost on the inside.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpton, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpton, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 13. Psalms number 13. And there aren't but six verses. And we're going to look at all six of them briefly. Psalm number 13, verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, say amen. 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 Read it.
Psalms 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Verse 4. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, how to turn problems into praise. How to turn problems into praise. Now keep in mind, this is King David speaking. And may I suggest to you, if the king's got problems, then not many of us are above the king and therefore would have to experience troubles and problems and issues in this life as well. And it would be helpful for us to see how he handled his problems. One of the things I've always heard from the old saints is, you don't question God. But as I began to read the word and search the scriptures, there are many believers who have questioned what God was doing. And many times the questions come because God has either hid his face or hid his plans from our knowledge. And because we don't know what he is doing, sometimes what's being done does not seem like it's of God. And one of the things the believer has got to know, got to understand, is that God loves us more than we love ourselves. And that he knows our limitations, he knows our abilities, and he knows what we can handle. And God knows that it's against his word to put more on us than we can bear. So when we know this, why then do we still question God when problems arise that seem like they're going to take us out? Well, may I suggest to you, one, that it is human nature. Yes. Human nature. You see, we are not made of all spirit. We are made of dust as well as spirit. And we've got to deal with the dust. That's the humanity. That's the human side of man. The spiritual side has more to do with that part that's like God. And so we've got to recognize that as believers in this world, we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have illnesses, we're going to have issues, we're going to have to deal with some of what everybody else deals with. Just because we're saved don't mean that we're exempt. As a matter of fact, God wants us to know, because we are saved, we're going to go through some things that the people in the world at this point won't go through. Because we belong to God, and God has allowed the enemy to have lease of this world. And so therefore, anything that the enemy does, he has to get permission from God when it comes to us. And if he has to get permission from God when it comes to us, then that means very simply that God won't permit him to do anything we can't handle. But here is the key. Here is the key. Asking the Lord four questions. I mean, rapid fire, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. First, he asked God, how long will you forget about me, oh Lord? That's a two-part question. The first part, A, how long will you forget about me, oh Lord, is the first part. The second part, B, is forever? Forever? What we need to realize is this question comes out of exaggeration. Exaggeration. Whenever you've been going through something for a long time, it's amazing how time has an ability, or your perception of time has the ability to shift in your mind. And a moment can seem like a minute. And a minute can seem like an hour. And an hour can seem like a day. And a day can seem like a week. And a week can seem like a month. And a month can seem like a year. And a year can seem like a decade in your mind. And so as a result of that, everything that happens in that time is exaggerated. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. But you hid from me. Question two, how long will you hide your face from me? How long? Now, this was exasperation. This comes from exasperation. He's frustrated. He's upset. And it doesn't make sense for us to sit here and act all holier than thou and act like there are times we don't get like this with God as well. That God doesn't show up when we want him to. We talk to him and it doesn't seem like he's talking back. Doesn't even seem like he's hearing or listening to us. We're calling out to him. We don't know what to do, and we're crying to the top of our voices, Lord, help me. Lord, show up. Lord, fix it. Lord, do it. And we have no sense of God's presence. And we become exasperated with that, wondering, how long are you going to hide your face from me? Your child, the one who stands up and believes you and witnesses for you and share and show folk the goodness of God in my life for you. And you seem to have forsaken me when I've needed you the most. Exasperation when he speaks this question, how long will you hide your face from me? But then in the third question, in the second verse, he asks, how long shall he take counsel with his soul, having sorrow fill his heart daily? This is evaluation. He's evaluating, how long am I going to have to talk to myself? Because there is no one to talk to. How long am I going to have to try and reason this thing out and encourage myself? How long am I going to have to try and figure this out and hope that it works for the best? How long am I going to be here trying to give myself encouragement that I can't give myself? And my heart is filled with sorrow daily. All right. It's all right to feel sorrow every now and then, but can you imagine every day you wake up, your heart is filled with sorrow? All right. It's hard to encourage yourself when your heart is filled with nothing but sorrow. And so when David speaks here, it's impossible for him to get a breakthrough under these circumstances. But if he don't encourage himself the best he can, then how will he make it? Because God seems to be far from him. And then the last question is, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? The king you put in place, me. The man after your own heart, me. The one who loves you and worships you and share and shows the kingdom your goodness. How can you let the enemy be exalted over me? And this question is filled, listen, with evaluation based on an erroneous expectation of exaltation. It isn't really so that his enemies are exalted over him. It just feels like that. And my brothers and sisters, you can be down so low that it feels like the enemy who is beneath you must be over you. And David feels like this because he can't figure out how the enemy has the ability to reign over him
while he's going through all this is in his mind now. But how many of you know your mind, it can make everything seem like it's real? And just because you saved don't mean that you won't suffer. Just because you saved don't mean you won't have no sorrows. Just because you're saved don't mean that you won't have enemies who are trying to move you out of your place and take control over what God has blessed you with. And the enemy himself wants to do you in. David was well aware of that. But then that last question also was filled with estimation. How long, how long, how long, how long, how long? And so the first thing we see is that he registers his complaint in a petition. Now, this is important for us because you need to know how to deal with your issues in the court of God. In other words, if you've got a complaint, you've got to know how to register your complaint. You've got to know how to put it in petition form. David helps us here because one of the things you need to know is though God knows what's going on with you, he asks you to talk to him. To ask him or to tell him what you want. He sees it. He knows it. But sometimes God steps back from you to see how you're going to act in terms of trusting him when you can't see him or when you can't touch him or when you can't feel him. Is it only extemporaneously or is it internal and it is eternal on the inside of you? God will take care of me. Don't care what it looks like. Don't care what it feels like. I believe it. I know it. And he's going to demonstrate it. But every now and then, our problems seem to perplex us and overwhelms us. But here's what we got to learn how to do. Have a little talk with God. Tell him all about our troubles. Make it clear to him. Listen, God, this is how I feel. I could be wrong, but I just want to register my complaint. Now, listen, once you've registered your complaint, then you need to learn how to put it to the side. David didn't keep, he only dealt with his complaint for two verses. And then he moves on to prayer. Verses 3 and 4 deals with prayer. Rita, read it.
Verse 3, consider and hear me.
Now, what do you think he means when he says consider and hear me, but praying to God? God, I'm talking to you now. This is, I'm through registering my complaints. I'm talking to you now from my heart. Go ahead now.
Oh, Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
All right, hold up right there. Lighten my eyes. One translation says, put a sparkle in my eye. Put some pep in my step. Put some joy in my heart. Put a song on my lips. God, lift me up, because if you do not do that, in other words, you need to show me something more than I'm looking at right now. And do you know, David was really saying, listen, I'm going into a depression. God, if you don't help me out of this depression, I'm going to just sleep my life away. It makes better sense for me to just sleep my life away than to get up every morning with my heart filled with sorrow and don't see an answer and don't see a way and don't feel your presence and don't see how you're going to step in and make this thing right. Listen, David is praying now to the Lord because he wants God to know he understands prayer, communication with God, and it's personal. Start over again, verse 3.
Consider and hear me. O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Continue.
Verse 4. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved.
Now listen at this. He said, God, if you don't step up and do something about this situation, lest mine enemies, lest my foes, lest those frenemies of mine do what? For thinking that they prevail against me. Oh, you're supposed to be God's king. You're supposed to be God's man. You're supposed to be Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his ten thousands. You're supposed to be all of that, but look at you now. And I want to just throw this out for free. I don't care how high you go, every now and then you fall down low. I don't care how God has blessed you. I don't care how God has elevated you. I don't care how God has raised you. Every now and then you fall down low. And so when you get to that point, you've got to know what to do. Because the enemies are going to rejoice that you've been moved. You've lost your position. You've lost your power. You've lost your privileges. But the devil is a liar. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. You need to tell somebody, hold on. Hallelujah. You need to tell somebody, hold on, because help is on the way. And when you have made that emergency mayday call to God, you've got to know this isn't the first time you've been in a position like this. The scenery might be different, but the situation is the same. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I've been here before. I said, I've been here before. All right. So now, look. He pleads his case in prayer. Paul says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? God, not man. I want to ask you to just check your Bible right quick. It ain't but 6 verses. Do you hear him talking to man here or to God? When he complained, did you hear him talking to man or to God? And when he's praying, do you hear him talking to man or to God? Somebody ought to hear me today. You need to stop telling you, whomever it may be, all your problems and take your problems and your burdens and your issues to the one who can do something about them. Everything David had to say, good and or bad, he told it to God. To God. Listen, and he moves from, you know, citing all of his complaints in a petition to putting his case in prayer before God. To the last 2 verses, 5 and 6, and we're closing this simple message. Because here's where you need to end up. It don't matter if verse 1 and 2 is in your life. And it doesn't matter if verse 3 and 4 is in your life and you're presently praying your way through your problems. None of that really matters till you get to verse 5 and 6. Read verse 5. But That's where it all changed right there. Come on.
But I have trusted in thy mercy.
Not us. Sometimes you got to do it all by yourself. You got loved ones around you, but they can't.